from the friendly confines of the KentuckyCrazies.com studios, located in the heart of the Big Blue Planet.
Listen up.
It's time to talk all things Kentucky Crazy.
Listen up.
Your hosts, listen Mike up. Hicks and Aaron Newton. Are crazy.
Okay, here we are, another Kentucky Crazies podcast. Tonight we're going to talk about the exhibition game, the last one we had. We're going to look forward to the next three games coming up, including a matchup with the Duke Blue Devils. Oh no. Oh yeah. And then also we're going to do a little Periscope segment. We're going to bring in some questions from some Periscopers out there. Talk a little football, National Signing Day, and a lot of craziness. KentuckyCrazies.com would like to welcome Crazy Me Gifts and Apparel as our new teammate. You can find many of our online bestsellers at Crazy Me. Crazy Me, located at 217 Williamsburg Square in Owensboro, Kentucky, 270-684-5419. Or find them on Facebook at Crazy Me Gifts. Yeah, once again, we want to thank Crazy Me Gifts and Apparels for being a teammate of KentuckyCrazies.com. As you know, you can run by there. It's in the Owensboro area at Williamsburg Square. Go by there and tell Donna we sent you. Aaron, have you been by there yet to pick up some goodies?
Not yet. It's on my agenda. I usually do all my Christmas shopping in like 2 days.
Yeah. So two days before Christmas?
Sometimes, yeah. Why get in a hurry? It's not Thanksgiving yet. I still got to eat. That gets me in the mood, eating. And my birthday is a little bit before Christmas, so that kind of gets me in the mood. And you know, because I start opening gifts and shredding paper and seeing bowls. And
you think, oh crap, I got to go buy stuff.
Yeah, it's almost Christmas. Honey, what do you want?
Yeah, we're sitting here enjoying our Starbucks coffee. You know,
waiting on the storm to come in.
Waiting for the storm to come in. Of course, the storm blew through yesterday. But well, anyway, let's see. It's one of those nights where we could just like take a nap, or you want to move forward with the podcast.
We might as well fight through it.
It's got a little wind outside. It's got a little drizzle. It's like, you know, blanket time.
Yeah, we kind of feel like the football team plays.
Oh, bip. I mean, oh, football team is not good right now.
Yeah. Well, let's talk basketball, get us in a good mood.
Okay, yeah, let's start off with that. Exhibition game, what did you think?
You know, it's an exhibition game. You expect to win by 90, but we only won by, 50. But you know, overall, kind of what you expect. Kevin Willis stepped in there, which
Kevin Willis.
Yeah. I do that all the time. Kevin Willis is not on our team. He was retired from the NBA. Derek Willis, that is. We'd like to have Derek Willis, but Kevin Willis.
Does Chris Gettelfinger, does he start at point guard for us this year?
Right next to Heisenbuttle. And Todd Swoboda's in the middle.
Derek Willis is going to get some playing time.
He's definitely earned it. Cal said he wanted him to earn his minutes, and just from that one exhibition, I think he has. Of course, you know, like we said before, with Alex still trying to get in shape, those minutes are going to be there. Now, what's going to happen when Alex is in full shape? But you know, who's going to lose those minutes? I hope it's not Willis, because he can do a lot of things.
I think it's his tattoo. I think the tattoo is what's giving him.
We didn't really get to see him demonstrate the chest tattoo he had, but apparently it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's you know, you can tell he's got a different state of mind going on right now, and it's, you know, showing on the court.
Well, you can see the effort. Now, I don't think it's an effort on both ends of the court that we've ever seen out of him before.
Right.
And I think a lot of it, too, maybe because I think this team's going to press a lot. This team's going to press more than any team that we've had under Cal. And Wills looked very good at the point of that press. You know, kind of the Willie spot. You know, the ball comes in, and then he's an automatic trap. And the Wills,
he's a good athlete.
He did a very good job at that.
Yeah. Cal said today on his press conference that Tyler Ulis is the best floor general he's had since he's been at Kentucky as a point guard. And, you know, all three of those guards can get up and down the court. Scal can run the court. Alex, of course, is a freak of an athlete. And so Derek is more.
Kevin.
Yeah. Kevin Willis, also known as Derek Willis. He like I said, he is more of an athlete than people may realize. And he showed a lot. I know, I mean, last year he wasn't going to see the court because, well, you know, we were 10 deep and he was 11 or 12.
But, and I don't think he put the effort out either.
I think he knew he wasn't going to see the court.
Yeah, well, it's kind of that sophomore slump, I guess you'd say. You know, he come in and he's playing behind all these guys and you kind of lose confidence and lose hope. But coming in his junior year, I think we've seen a huge improvement in him.
So we can blame Joe B. Hall for the January slump and now the Derek Willis sophomore slump.
You know, Joe B. gets a lot of blame for a lot of things.
Oh, poor guy. He was a hell of a coach.
Other than Willis, another player that has quietly impressed me is Lee, Marcus Lee. It seems like he's really matured. You know, I said it last year that coming into this year, I felt like he could be a Willie-type defender. That's a lot to ask, but, you know, he can guard several positions. He's quick enough to do it. He's long enough. He's got the athletic ability to guard several positions. And he's been great around the rim, you know, rebounding and the dunks. That's all we really need him to do, and that was really all we asked Willie to do.
Exactly, and Cal actually alluded to Marcus Lee as well today. He talked about, you know, NBA guys are going to look at him, and Cal said, you know, who are you? What can you bring to the court? What are the NBA guys going to want out of you? Well, it's rebound, block shots, put yourself in the right position, and you know, he's not going to hit a 12-footer. He's not going to be the kind of guy that might be able to slash with the ball. So offensively, he's going to have to put himself in the positions he can score, which is typically putbacks, be in the right position to catch an alley-oop, and, be, you know, as Kyle's always said, be the best version of yourself, and then you can shine. And within this system, he doesn't have to do all these other things. He can do the things he does well.
You can definitely see that he's worked on some offense. He's doing a lot of more things with his back to the basket. That's not going to be a staple of his game, I don't think, by any means. But he's got some moves down there that we haven't seen in his first 2 years.
You can tell that Kenny Payne's been working with him. And, you know, we've talked about this 100 times, but they don't get enough credit for developing players. And people forget Willie Cauley-Stein as a freshman. I was like, don't even throw him the basketball because I was afraid. And like you said, Marcus Lee is starting to show signs of a low post presence as far as, a you know, do an inlet pass to him or whatever. And that's something we wouldn't have dreamed of just, you know, last year or whatever. No, so,
but he's always going to be that defender. And we're not really going to need his production on the offensive end. But it's nice to have that option, and you know it's better for him to move his game forward, and that's definitely what he's done.
All right, so I got a question for you. When we're playing in a crunch time, you know, you've seen enough of the team to get a feel for them now. In the last minute, who do you think is going to be on the court, and the five guys on the court, and also who's going to take the last shot if you need it?
Well, are we behind?
Well,
makes a difference.
When the minute starts, it's tied. So we got to see who's on the court, and then also, and the last play, we're down a point, and who's going to take that shot?
Well, as of now, we know we do not want Briscoe on the floor if it's a foul situation because he's abysmal at the free throw shooting right now. And has he hit maybe two in the exhibition games? And
I'm not sure if he's ever taken a free throw before he came to Kentucky.
It doesn't look like it. Maybe he needs to do like the Louisville player and start shooting the granny shots.
Maybe so. Yeah.
But definitely you want Euless. I wouldn't mind him playing 40 minutes a game, to be honest. Murray, of course, on the floor. Alex, his shooting has improved drastically. You know, they say that a lot with players that have a leg injury like that, they spend a lot of time just shooting. And you can really see it. He's shooting free throws well. His three-point shot has been great.
He looks comfortable on the outside. He's always been pretty good at the line, but he's looking more comfortable with his perimeter shot for sure. Yeah. So he got three players there.
And you're going to have to put Scala in there just for the defensive part of it, and he can't score. And I believe he'll be a good free throw shooter. The four spot, you know, who do you think?
Right now, I'm going to say Willis.
That was the first thought was my mind, too.
I know it might sound a little crazy, but he's got more experience right now. I'm talking about right now.
Yeah.
You know, over Charles Matthews, over. And that last minute, as much as I love Briscoe, when it's a tight game, he's on the bench.
Yeah. You know? But if you need defense, I may go with the Matthews over Willis.
Right. Yeah, it depends on, like you know, Tubby was a master at switching offense mm-hmm. for defense and all that. So, yeah, if there's a lot of variables there with that. I agree with those four players and the other spot. We'll have to maybe see a few more games.
Yeah, and, of course, it's going to see depend on who's playing well at the time. You know, it's not a democracy, you know.
That's
or
right.
Not, or it's not a communism, not as Calvin.
It's not a democracy.
I'm sleepy.
I know. We're still we're still taking a nap, I think.
It's not a monarchy.
It's not a hieroglyphic tree or something. All right, so we're going to take a break here, and when we come back, we're going to do a little periscoping and see if anybody's out there paying attention and asking us questions. And we'll be back here in a minute. KentuckyCrazies.com.
Enough talking. Let's ball.
Visit KentuckyCrazies.com today and pre-order using coupon code KYCRAZIES20 to receive 20% off.
Release date, October 13th.
All right, well, we are back. We've been trying to get the Periscope thing up and running, but having some technical difficulties on that. So if you're out there listening to us right now, make sure you follow us on Twitter at Kentucky Crazies. Spell out the full word Kentucky and then Crazies and at KYCrazyAaron. And that way you can follow us on Periscope.
I believe it was the solar flares.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, it was throwing everything off.
The solar flares solar interrupted flares. Our Periscope broadcast. And
the lunar depressions.
I had a good time kind of trolling a little bit on Dick Vitale's Periscope today. He started one about the college basketball season, and he talked about the Indiana-Kentucky rivalry. And
all right, Sam.
He was, yeah. Sam Bowie rivalry, and he was basically saying, oh, Kentucky and Indiana should play, baby, and all that kind of stuff. And I'm not saying we shouldn't play, but I know why we don't play.
Yeah.
And I popped in there and said, you know, maybe if Anthony Davis's parents were treated better in Bloomington along with the other fans. And I got that in there. He read it, and he was like, oh, if you're a Kentucky fan, it was Indiana's fault, and if you're an Indiana fan, it's Kentucky's fault. Just get along and play, baby. And I don't think that flew well with their athletic department based upon what I read. And he just said
with our athletic department, they're saying,
with Kentucky, because there was a lot of complaints about how fans were treated up there. And I know Anthony mm-hmm. Davis's parents were not treated well. And it just, you know, if the shoe was on the other foot, if IU fans were treated similarly at Rupp, can you imagine the outcry?
Oh, yeah,
yeah.
But why is that a must game, though? I mean, I understand because we're states are connected and it's Kentucky and Indiana, but why can't we start a rivalry with UCLA or you know, with Kansas? You know, why wouldn't that be a better rivalry than UK Indiana? You know,
well, it has the tradition, and I understand where all that comes from.
I do too. Yeah,
but here's the other part of it. Well, Cal didn't want to play home and home, and the reason for that is he likes playing games like Ohio State this year, where you play where Sweet 16 Elite Eight games are going to be to get
tournament
ready for
settings.
Tournament settings, and home and home, all that does is get fans in trouble or whatever, you know, happen. And we offered Indiana two neutral site games in the state of Indiana in a row, and they turned it down. So, you know, that's something that doesn't ever get talked about. We're the ones that won't play Indiana. We're the ones. Well, let me ask you this. Indiana and Louisville now play a neutral court, you know, pre-conference game. Mm-hmm. Okay, why do they do it with them and not with us?
Nobody's watching that game, though.
Yeah, that's true. But I'm talking about for me. Why did Indiana do it with Louisville and not do it with Kentucky?
Was it just to kind of rub it in our face, maybe? Yeah.
Maybe to get play that angle that
Rick called. You know, Crane said, "Hey, I'll give you a kiss on the lips. we'll do this here.
We'll take you by the dorm." We'll take you by the dorm room.
We'll have you be our recruiting coordinator.
Well, you know, it does raise the question. I can see Rick doing that, but then from the Indiana perspective, it gives them the angle of, say, you know, hey, look, we're going to play Louisville, but Kentucky won't play us at our place. That was the whole thing, is I felt like Cream was playing that angle. Thing is, they're going to get their butts whooped.
Yeah. I have a feeling when Cream has another disappointing year and he gets fired here within the next 2 or 3 years, I believe the game will be back on.
Probably so.
Yeah, even though supposedly Cal and Cream are friendly.
They were, but I'm not sure.
I'm not so sure anymore, yeah. But I believe that game would be back on. It only makes sense.
I hate to say this, but I do think Indiana is going to be pretty good this year.
But they should have been good, 2 years ago?
That's true.
Yeah. So, Crean's not a very good coach. He gets a lot of credit for having Dwayne Wade on his team.
I feel like I need to take a shower. We've talked about Indiana too long. let's jump into this real quick. Today was National Signing Day, and Wenyen, is it Wenyen Gabriel? Is that how you say it?
I guess.
W-E-N-Y-E-N. Wenyen Gabriel actually signed the letter of intent, so he is officially a Wildcat.
Yeah.
And then we got Sasha Killia Jones. And then on Thursday, if you're listening to this on Thursday, everybody in the world is expecting De'Aaron Fox to commit to Kentucky.
Yeah, I'm a pretty sure thing, I believe. And I believe that's why the Kobe Simmons, who was also a big UK lean at one time, had his father actually come out and said he was going to commit to Arizona, but then they put that off. So interesting to see why they put that off. But I still believe he's going to end up going somewhere else because we have Fox.
I agree, and I think they're going to end up just pushing his decision to the fall.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Which, you know, I mentioned this to you earlier off the air, that it's kind of surprising that this many kids have committed already. Usually, you know, you have a big group that wait until the spring to see who's leaving, who's going, you know, who's coming back. And there's only, four or five kids that haven't committed.
Yeah, after De'Aaron commits tomorrow, we have Bam Adebayo, Malik Monk, and Josh Jackson in the top 10. Those are the only guys that remain.
Yeah.
Now, this is the ESPN top 10.
And they all three have UK offers, by the way.
They all do. And I've heard good stuff about Bam and Malik both, but neither one of them are set to make a decision tomorrow.
No.
Just De'Aaron. And we posted some on our website, some highlight videos of De'Aaron yesterday and some breakdown of his size and all that. And once I put my eyeballs on him 100%, I mean, this kid is quick. I mean, he's a lefty, and there's something about lefties when they take that shot, how pretty it looks. And his game is very similar to John Wall. I hate doing the comparison game. But, I mean, the guy can just jump out of the gym, and, man, he's quick.
How crowded is our backcourt going to be next year? Because I don't expect Euless to be gone. Just not talent-wise, but just size-wise, that's not an NBA size. So I could see him staying for 4 years.
Well, we'll have the same problem we have this year. We'll just have three good guards.
Yeah, and then Briscoe, I believe, is really more than a one-year player as well. And
we said that about, you know, some other
Brandon
guys.
Brandon Knight, Eric Bledsoe.
I didn't think Devin Booker would be in the NBA right now.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll have to let the season play out. But best case, worst case, however you want to look at it, we'll have Briscoe, Euless, and Fox.
Mm-hmm.
And then you throw in, you know, it's just another loaded class is what's going to happen. Now, I want to know how we're going to handle this, though. And I'm still, you know, maybe getting these names wrong a little bit, but you got the Wenyen Gabriel, and then we've got the kid that's going to be coming at Christmas break, supposedly.
The Kiwi.
Ty Wynyard. So you got Wenyen and Wynyard.
Mm-hmm.
So, Tom Leach, if you're out there listening, I want to know how you're going to handle this one.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, good luck. Oh, yeah, it's Sasha Killia Jones. What are you going to do with that one?
Yeah. No, the Wynyard, you know, he keeps going back and forth on what he's going to do, if he's going to wait till next year or go ahead and come. And the last that he has said that he is planning on enrolling at the break. Again, I don't expect a lot out of a player that comes at the break because they've missed all the early practices and then those early games as well, and the bonding with the team. But he's a big body, and he's having a phenomenal year where he's playing at now. He's putting up some huge numbers.
Yeah, last numbers I saw, he put up 29 and 17. And where he'll make a big difference is in practice. Like you said, he may not know where to be on the court and that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He won't see much of the court during games, but he will be a big body to bang, scowl, whenever Humphries is, you know, taking a break.
And toughen Humphries up, too, because he seems a little soft. I like the kid. He's got some talent. And I'm afraid he's going to be the one that's losing the minutes, the Humphries is. But, man, I want him on the floor. He can do so much. He's
going to have his time.
Yeah, and it's going to be a matchup thing. You know, the last game wasn't much of a game for him because they were so small, Kentucky State, that is. And it was a fast game. So he did get his minutes, and he 7 points, I think, in 7 minutes, whatever time he played. So he put some numbers up quick. And he's definitely going to be a player in the future.
All right, we're going to take a quick little break here. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit of NBA, a little bit of football, and games coming up.
You people are crazy.
All right, so we want to talk a little bit about two of our NBA guys right now. We could spend all night talking about all 47 of them. On a positive note, Karl Anthony Towns is having a historical start to his NBA life.
Yeah, they just showed the list there the other night after his game of the double doubles and what players have done this in their first six games. You know, and he's up there with Shaq, Mutombo, Mourning.
There's only four players you saw on the sixth game.
Yeah.
On the seventh game.
He did it again the next night.
Right. And there's only been four players, not talking about rookies. There's only been four players in history to have five of their first seven games a double-double.
Yeah.
In the history of the game.
And this kid's, 18, 19 years old? And
yeah.
He's going to be something else. And we knew it, and Cal held him back. Realistically, look what Cal did with him, though. He made him a low-post player, which is what he's trying to do with Scal right now. You know, when Cal came in, he liked to shoot the threes. He thought he was a jump shooter. And he told him to get that big butt down the paint, and he carried us for a good three-fourths of the season.
He did. He was our best player. There's no question about that.
So even though Cal can't develop players,
he developed him into the number one overall pick. And so on the downside of this right now, I love Boogie. I love DeMarcus Cousins, and I've been taking up for him a lot of years, but at some point he's going to have to cut out some of these shenanigans.
Yeah, it's starting to feel like that we've been blinded by our love for him, I guess you'd say.
Well, you know, I always want to put it on like passion. You know, you got guys like Charles Barkley over the years, and a lot of guys, and even Shaq for a lot of years got labeled incorrectly, and I love Shaq, you know, and Boogie, he's still young. And so he's going to have to start making better decisions. Made a point, I don't, if anybody's listening to this right now that they don't know what happened was last night after another loss, they're 1-7 right now, he cursed out their coach in front of the other players in the locker room after the game. And there's no denying that he did it.
He admitted it, and he even apologized for it later and said the emotions got the best of him, and he's not blaming anybody specifically, but you don't do that to your coach. And you know, you got to understand the dynamics there. You know, you're the player, even though you're making the millions of dollars, that's the hard part of the NBA is your players are making more than the coach, but still he's your coach. You got to have that respect, and Boogie's never really got that. Even with Cal, I don't think it was quite at the level it should have been. Cal put up with it, and I think Cal
knew how to handle it.
Exactly. He knew how to handle it. But even at that stage, you know, Boogie was doing things that players shouldn't be doing with their coach.
He's definitely have a growing up curve that's a little longer.
He makes it hard to like him.
Yeah.
He really does. He makes it – it's hard to keep taking up for him. And he's got – he could be the best player in the league. You know, he's got that much talent. And well, he's again, unstoppable.
I point, you know, back in the day when Shaquille played – I was the first guy to say I can't stand that guy. You know, when he was at LSU a few years in the league, couldn't stand the guy. And then, you know, he became this lovable guy everybody loves in the commercials and all that. I really believe that's who Boogie is. He's got to kind of get, you know, Shaq made some bad decisions. He would get beat up in the low post and he'd throw a punch or two. And you know, that's to an extent, that's human nature. Not everybody does it. See, that's the thing. And when you're as big as they are, it comes off as even worse.
Yeah, and I kind of understand things like that on the court because Boogie does take a beating. You know, if you've watched him play, he doesn't get calls that other players get. Right. Even though he's close to this superstar status in the league, he doesn't get the calls. He takes an absolute beating. So I can see, you know, through however many 72 games, whatever, however it is they play in a season, that's going to weigh on you. But again, in the locker room, you can't take this stuff out on your coach and right. your players. You know, that's, and you've got to be mature enough to handle those things.
And they said they, you know, patched things up in August, and apparently whatever was there has come back. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. I know that the coach said he wanted to suspend him for 2 games, and we'll see if that happens because he just came off an injury.
Well, he's playing tonight, so they
yeah,
didn't.
So it didn't happen. Yeah, maybe they'll talk their way through it. But come on, Boogie, get it together,
yeah,
buddy.
Really. And apparently the Kings owner apparently still wants Cal to coach. You know, he put that out there again today. So
yeah, they said he's courting yeah. Cal again. So, but I'm not gonna. You know, there's no point in entertaining that as far as realistically at this point. But so anyway, we've got some games coming up Friday night. We've got Albany at 7 Eastern on the SEC Network.
Which now, Albany's a tournament team. They're not a, you know, they're
15-16.
Yeah, it's a team we should beat, but, you know, they are a tournament team.
And, of course, that is on television, everybody. SEC Network. Yay! And then Saturday night, the game has been pushed back to 8 Eastern time against NJIT, the new Jerseyan Indiana Technology.
Now, if you recall, that's the team that beat Michigan, was it last year, on Michigan's home court?
Or was it Michigan State?
It was Michigan.
Was it Michigan? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, so I don't know if they have the same uber talent they had last year, but we'll see about that. Now, that game is internet only. So we went through that last podcast. Internet only. ESPN3.com. Not on television.
Or so the ESPN Watch.
And ESPN3 is not a TV channel. It is internet only.
So you can't get that through your remote?
You cannot get that through your remote. Huh. You have to get on your internet.
So there's no sense me going home trying.
You can't call your cable company and complain because they ain't going to put them on there. All right. And then, of course, the game that everybody's kind of jumping to, Duke on Tuesday night. Now, hopefully we're going to do a podcast on Monday to break down the entire Duke Kentucky saga. Yeah,
the defending national champions.
What? I think I'm gonna puke. They had our bracket. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll break it down more on Monday. But you know, it's. I want to see us play the next 2 games, and Duke plays 2 games mm-hmm. this weekend as well. And
Duke is going to be Duke. They're going to be good. Yep. You know. So it's one of those teams we have trouble with. Duke, Michigan State. You know, this Connecticut, those are our three boogaboos right now.
Yeah, Connecticut for sure. And, you know, one thing I will say about Duke this year, and as much as I despise them, it's really strange to me because I feel like the talent they have coming back from last year, I know they lost some really amazing talent, but they've got some good ones coming back. And they've got a heck of a recruiting class.
Yeah, they just signed the top 2 players in the...
Yeah, I'm talking about the team they have right now.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why I'm really kind of surprised. A lot of years, they're overhyped and ranked too high. And I'm like, and I'll say they're... This year, I think it's the opposite.
They're a little low, yeah.
I think they're better than what they're ranked. And it hurts my heart to say that.
Yeah, because of what I saw, they have... Of course, they're going to be different, but UK was 2 and Duke is 5. You know, those could easily be flip-flopped, in my opinion.
I agree. So it's going to be a battle. We'll jump into that a little bit more on Monday once we know what they did and once we know what we did, and to talk a little bit about the whole rivalry. Sam Bowie, thank you. All right, so we're getting ready to go into 3 games in 4 days. Folks, it's here. Basketball season is upon us.
I thought you was going into football. You said 3 games.
Oh, I forgot about the football. Yeah. I wonder why.
Don't we wish we could?
I was getting ready to get excited.
I know, but you said 3 games. I thought, oh, man, we got 3 games
okay.
left.
Okay, give me 30 seconds on football. Go.
That's all I got.
Okay.
You know, the coach said after the last embarrassment of a football game that the quarterback – position was up for grabs again, which I think they've come out and said toes is going to be the quarterback, which I think he should still. If he struggles against Vanderbilt, bring him in, make the change. But Vanderbilt's a game we need to win a game, so we need to throw our best options out there. And apparently they think Patrick is still our best option. And again, he's not the only problem. You know, I watched the first half of the Georgia game last night, and we cannot block. The, you know, Joe Montana is not going to be successful if your line cannot block. And Patrick has his problems, but you know, it's a team problem. So we're going to have to get it figured out.
Yeah, it's late in the year, but we need a win. We just got to win.
We need two wins.
Right, we need two wins. And then everybody will be happy. Just get two. Right, you got to get one, and then we get two. Yeah, it's painful. It's really, really
And Vanderbilt
painful.
Is a team that you looked at the schedule in the beginning of the year, and we thought that's a win. They nearly beat Florida Saturday. Vanderbilt is a very good defensive team. They cannot score. If they score 7 points, they might win the game. You know, because we can't score right now at all. So Vanderbilt is a very good defensive team. So it's a dangerous game for us, and it could be a backbreaker for Stoops.
Vanderbilt win Saturday afternoon late. What time is it?
I think the game's at 3. That's why they moved the basketball game later,
We're going to have two wins on Saturday. So here we go. Got to win against Vandy, and then Friday, Saturday, Tuesday.
I am anticipating a win against Vanderbilt. I believe the team's had enough go wrong that something's going to go right.
Big Blue Nation, let's do it.
Don't give up on them.
Go Cats.
Until the next time, stay crazy, Kentucky.
Follow us on Twitter at Kentucky Crazies. And find us on Facebook at facebook.com/ Kentucky Crazies. KentuckyCrazies.com.
Listen up.
You people are crazy.
And this is all a part of my sickness.